Let's have a word of prayer. If you'd bow your head and close your eyes, would you in the silence of the moment from your heart say, Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say that to the Lord? Lord, please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your Spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your Spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so glad to see you at Oak Mound today. Then you can be seated. Then you can be seated. The little boy asked his dad, Dad, are bugs good to eat? Let's not talk about such things at the dinner table, son, his father replied. After dinner, the father inquired, Now, son, what did you want to ask me? All nothing, the boy said. There was a bug in your soup, but now it's gone. Teacher, if you had a dollar and you asked your father for another, how many dollars would you have? The little boy Baylor, one. Teacher, you don't know your arithmetic. Baylor, you don't know my father. A small boy was at the zoo with his father. They were looking at the tigers, and his father was telling him how ferocious they were. Daddy, if the tigers got out and ate you up... Yes, son, the father asked, ready to console him. Which bus would I take home? One more. Joe, what does your father do for a living? John, he's a magician. He performs tricks like sawing people in half. Joe, do you have any brothers or sisters? John, yep. Four half sisters and a half brother. You know, as we joke about fathers, and fathers are fun to pick on, and fathers are do a lot of funny stuff. But I'd like to start the message that way, but also say and emphasize that being a dad is very serious business. It's serious to be a dad. What an awesome responsibility. You know, we've been in this series spelling out the word fatherhood, the role of a father, spelling out fatherhood. And I hope that you've realized, or at least sensed from me, and from the Bible, that being a dad is such a huge blessing. And if you're here today and you're a mom or a grandpa or a grandma or even a guardian of someone, what a huge blessing, but yet what a huge responsibility as well. Some statistics that are not near as funny as the jokes. I shared them part one of this series. We're on part seven now. But we shared with you that 18.3 million kids live in a home without a father. 18.3 million kids in America live in a home without a father. That's one in four kids. 31.5% of children live in a home without their biological father. Without their biological father. And that's basically one in three is not living with their biological father. But you know what, I stand before you today, and I'm glad that I just don't have to give you my wisdom or my thoughts, but I have the Word of God. And I'm thankful that this Word of God, and I tried to emphasize this to the kids this week at Vacation Bible School, excuse me, maybe I used my voice just a little bit too much this week. What do you think? Don't you love it when something jumps in your throat and you can't talk? It's especially enlightening and a blessing whenever you're before people trying to speak. I'll see if I can get that. Maybe it was a bug flu in my mouth. I don't know. But I am thankful that God's word tells me the role of a father. You know, I don't have to check out any book, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't have to go to some book on raising kids. I don't have to just try to sit down and think about it and psych myself up and say, what should a dad be? But God's word is very clear on the role of a father. And as I've said, I think in every message, you know, don't sit there and say, well, I'm not a father. It's not for me. Well, many of these same principles apply to everyone. Really, they do. And if you have the privilege of being in a role of leadership in a home, whether that be dad ultimately or mom in a home or a grandpa or a grandma, what an impact you can have. Sometimes aunts and uncles are raising kids for someone in their family. But whatever the role you might be in, these principles apply. And I want to start it out by looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, you know these verses, but I just want to remind you specifically in this area, if I might. Notice what it says. All Scripture, not just parts of it, not just the words in red, not just the New Testament, but all of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, God breathed this love letter into existence. You know, I'd be lost without the Bible. Not only literally, but also figuratively. I'd be like, wow, what do I do here? Well, the Bible tells me. Whoa, what a responsibility of being a dad. But I can look in God's Word. And without telling us in the Word of God how we could truly be saved and born again, how would we know? I can make up something weird. You know, hopscotch down the aisle of the church and you're saved. But God's word is clear. It says all Scripture, this is all God breathed into existence. And notice it's profitable, that's good, profitable for doctrine, tells us what to believe. For reproof, it tells us when we're wrong. For correction, it tells us how to straighten up and fly right. And it tells us how to live righteously because it says for instruction in righteousness. But this is the verse I want to emphasize talking about the role of fathers, the role of dads. Listen to this. That the man of God, now that's just not speaking to the male gender. That's for all of us, okay? That's not just speaking of a preacher. That's for all of us that are following Jesus. Notice it says may be perfect or mature. And here it is. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, being a dad is a good work. Being a dad is a very admirable thing to be. And God's book, it says, tells us how to do it in a good way. We are completely equipped. You see, the problem is not what's in the book. The problem is what's in our heart. Because a lot of times we think we know better or we don't even spend time in this book. But this book has all of the answers. And I'll say again, including on what is the role of a father. Now, some might be here today and you'd say, you know, my kids are long gone. How can I make up for that? I see what you're saying. It's biblical. It's good. Well, I tell you what, many times an apology is a very appropriate thing to give. Seriously. And whatever role that you have with your children now, even if they are grown, you're still their parent. And you can still implement many of the principles that we've talked about, even though they don't live under your roof anymore. You are responsible for you, right? You are responsible for your own actions. And if they're making their own choices and doing their own thing, but I'm thankful that I am a work in progress, but God is very loving and patient toward me. And he, again, gives me the answers on how to be a dad from the Word of God. Today, if you'd turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 now, Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all are kind of quiet. Maybe you're just tired. I don't know, but come on, crank up that amen corner back there, okay? All right. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, we've looked at this in light of other roles or responsibilities of a dad, but I'm going to read it here in just a moment. I want to review for just a moment the role of a father, spelling out fatherhood. We looked at already the F, he furnishes the needs of his family. That speaks of provision. The A of fatherhood, he admonishes. That means he charges, urges, implores his children to do what's right and serve the Lord. The T, he teaches his children about the Lord, not only how to be saved, but how to serve the Lord. The H, he heads or leads his family. The E of fatherhood, he encourages his children. R, he reassures or comforts his children. H, he hugs his children, tells and shows compassion. Last Sunday morning, the O, the first O that is, he orders his words carefully to his children, measures his words, doesn't push too hard. And the second O of fatherhood today is what we're going to be looking at. He obligates himself to his family. He obligates himself to his family. This point in particular speaks of commitment. It speaks of responsibility. Commitment and responsibility. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, I want you to pay attention to this verse, all right? You know, many times we hear these things so many times, we kind of brush over a few words. But I want to point out some words that may not have jumped off the page at you. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." That's what we talked about last Sunday morning. But here it is. "But bring them up." But bring them up. It says in the nurture, the training, and the admonition of the Lord. Now we've covered the other parts of that verse, but those words, "but bring them up." You know, in Sunday school we've been talking a lot about maturity. We've been on, it seems like almost an infinite amount of different lessons talking about maturity and how we show maturity and how we can show maturity in different areas, and how if we did not grow physically, everybody would be going, "Wow, what's wrong with you?" But yet we can sit in the pew and not grow spiritually and everybody thinks it's okay. But what is ultimately most important? Spiritual maturity, right? And as I look at this verse in particular, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." You know, part of the responsibility, part of the maturing process of being a Christian is we got to realize that it involves commitment to the Lord, but even in this passage, it involves commitment to our family. Bring them up. You know, it's our responsibility as parents to see that Junior grows up. Duh. You say, "Preacher, you said some profound things," but that's about the biggest one I've ever, most profound statements you've ever made. In that idea of bringing them up, we see that they're cared for, right? We see that they're led as dads in the family. But part of that maturing process is our responsibility. You know, usually kids don't automatically say, "You know what, Dad, I want to serve Jesus," just on their own. It comes from a constant bringing them up and seeing that they mature in these other areas. Again, we've known instances where kids weren't growing the way they should physically. People in our church or people that we know, friends. And it's like, wow. And I'd be the same way. Like, wow, we got to figure out. We got to get to the bottom of this. But spiritually also, we got to bring up our kids to maturity. I mean, we've noticed, and this is not in any way intended to be a guilt trip, but we don't have in our church that many kids whose parents are in the church that aren't under the roof. I mean, it's like some churches, obviously, some churches, there's grandpa, there's grandma, there might even be great-grandma and grandpa, and then there's grandma and grandpa, and then there's their kids, and then there's their kids, and their kids. If you look down, we've lost a lot. So I think we really need to take seriously. Again, I didn't throw that out there to... I mean, there's a point that they make decisions. You might have been the best dad, the best mom that you could have been before the Lord. Only God knows. But I'm just saying, what an awesome responsibility to bring them up. Responsibility and commitment. Too many dads today. Now, we've seen this in different cases. Sometimes the mom is a little bit more spiritually mature than dad is. So dad just kind of bows out of that. Or dad's a little bit quiet, so he kind of bows out of that, bringing them up in the Lord. Bringing them up, seeing that they mature in the Lord. And sometimes dads just kind of wash their hands of the whole family and think that everything... I can't really wrap my brain around that. But you know, there's lots of dads that simply say, so long. Things aren't going as well as I thought they would, or the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, and they leave their family, and they leave their kids. Now, that's not God's intent. God expects us to bring up our children in the Lord. And that involves commitment. That involves responsibility. Now, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2. Because this is a very related topic, all right? In Genesis chapter 2, notice God's intent in marriage. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Notice what it says. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Now, Adam has just got to help me right there. And God, it says in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then there, right here, God has commentary. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, you say, preacher, why are we now talking about marriage? Well, your commitment, men, to your family includes your commitment to your wife, and it includes your commitment to your children. And really, one of the best things you can do for your kids' dads is to let your kids know how committed you are to their mom. Now, you know, we had some really, really interesting behavior this week at Vacation Bible School. You have to wonder about their home life, right? And you have to look. I mean, anymore, you look at even registration forms, and you can't quite figure out most of the time whose dad, whose stepmom, whose guardian, whose grandma. I mean, it's tough. And part of that is because we never learned the commitment part of being men. And women, that involves commitment from you as well, because sometimes mom just says, see ya. But listen, God's idea was one man for one woman for life. That's God's ideal. Now, I'm sure that we have some that say, well, you know, I'm divorced. What do I do? Well, I don't think divorce was ever part of God's plan. But if you're there, you've been divorced, I would simply say, God, and you probably have, forgive me. I know that's not what you wanted. Forgive me. And then move on in your service for God. You're not a second-rate citizen. You're not a second-class Christian. Just move on, all right? But from this point forth, and what God's word says, I want you to leave mom and dad and cleave. I remember in marriage counseling, usually when I counsel premarital counseling, I put two hearts and I glue them together in one session. In the next session, I get together as best I remember, and I have them tear it apart. And you know what happened? It shreds both hearts, right? You see, God never intended it that way. God intended one man for one woman for life. And men, we have to be committed to our wives, and we have to be committed to our children. Now, I know there's some here that not even old enough to be married yet. Just keep that in mind. You need to be committed. Some younger families are here. You need to be committed. You need to be responsible. You are responsible to bring them up, your children. And part of that is being committed to your wife. Does that make sense? Y'all are so quiet, it's almost eerie to me. It's like, woo, they're really, you know, I wonder, am I talking strange or am I saying it wrong? But God's word is very clear. We have that responsibility. Today we're looking at, in particular, a father obligates himself to his family. That involves commitment. That involves responsibility. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll not turn there today, but in Ephesians chapter 5, the New Testament, it's repeated this same principle of leaving and cleaving and becoming one flesh. And when you try to tear that apart, destruction. Now, can I get real personal and kind of get in everybody's face for just a moment? Everybody look at me. I have heard parents say things like this. Are you ready? They've made up their mind that they're going to split up with mom or dad. I mean, with the husband or wife, excuse me. They're going to split up. So one has decided that they're leaving. They're not committed. They're not obligating themselves to their family, and they're going to leave. And they say ridiculous things like this. Are you ready? Well, they're just kids, talking about their children, and they're resilient. They'll get over it. Let me tell you, as a child of divorce, they never get over it. So don't kid yourself and say, well, it's okay, they're resilient. Now, I know God's grace is sufficient. I know He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But let me tell you, the hurt and the consequences of being a child of divorce never go away. May that be a lesson to every mom and every dad, every husband, every wife, to say, guess what? I'm going to obligate myself to my family. You think about that for just a moment. I mean, have you ever seen anybody on a football team go out there with a jersey on and they're about ready for the first play of the game and they jerk off their jersey and say, I'm out of here? You don't see that, do you? I mean, to my knowledge, I've never seen that. The Olympics are going on, right? The Olympics are going on, and they usually have those nice, you know, USA shirts. And you know, most of them I've heard seem to be proud to be on the Olympic team for their country. And you probably will not see them. Who knows? You can see about anything. But I wouldn't expect them to be about ready to do their event, then all of a sudden rip their jersey off and say, nope, I'm not going to be part of the team anymore. If we can expect that commitment from athletes to a team, don't you think we should expect that commitment from dads to say, hey, I'm not leaving you? And your kids need to hear that. Your kids need to hear that I am committed to this family. I'm not going anywhere. Because kids need security. They need that stability. And they need their dad and their mom, for that matter, to say, guess what? I am committed to this family. I am responsible. I am going to bring you up the best I can, and I am not going to go AWOL. Now, again, I know this may be a sensitive subject because maybe you've gone through it from one end or the other. And it's not intended to throw salt in a wound, nor is it intended to be overly critical. But I'm saying, if we can keep one family together that's thinking about splitting up, any word that I say today is worth it. Now, I know this will probably come as a shock to you. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Is everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic? This is going to profound you. Don't fall out of your seat, okay? I am not the perfect husband. Notice I'm not asking for comments from anyone in the church. But some people like to use that as an excuse. Well, if you only knew, if you only knew. And I know, I realize, now again, I've been around a while, and really I'm to the point in life, really nothing surprises me much anymore. I mean, really nothing much in this world that I see or people doing, I'm like, didn't surprise me. I mean, it's pretty sad to be in a place like that, but the world's got so crazy, right? And I realize that there's Yahoo husbands and there's Yahoo moms. That's a word we use. Yay, nothing but Yahoos. I get that. But you know, that makes choosing a mate, Sean, Ryan, Jason, any others that might be in that category or close to that category, that makes choosing the right, in y'all's case, wives, even more crucial. Make sure. Now, I am so sick of, I guess I'm just on a tangent today, but I really get upset when somebody's dating somebody. You know, and it comes through the church grapevine that somebody's dating somebody. And you know, mom and dad's faithful to church, and maybe the kids come to church some or somewhat faithfully, I don't know. But then, and then there's kind of a point made like, oh, so-and-so's dating so-and-so. And then, you know, preachers are almost obligated to ask these kind of questions. Like, okay, is she a Christian? And you know the most common response that I hear probably? I'm really not sure. I think they might go to church somewhere. Well, come on. I mean, seriously. You know, you're not supposed to be unequally yoked together according to the book of Corinthians, right? You're not supposed to be unequally yoked together. I mean, come on. That's not an unreasonable expectation that our children date Christian other children, even if they are teenagers. Right? That's not an unreasonable expectation. And let me tell you, I've seen this a lot, and you have too. Make sure that they're serious about God. If your son or your daughter is dating someone, just don't check the box. Check. They say they're a Christian. But are they serious about God? I don't know how many times I've seen usually a Christian girl who may be somewhat serious about God get linked up with some old boy, and it's no problem to come to church for a few weeks. And they come and they look pretty good, and they're like, but then they get married, and then dad never comes. Husband never comes. Do you see the point? Make sure that they're serious about God. But once you're in that relationship, it's supposed to be one man for one woman for life. Don't take the easy way out. Don't be the non-committed dad and husband and say, oh, I'm out of here. Things get tough. I know this will really surprise you, but Amy's not the perfect wife either. I had to throw that in there. Before you thought too poorly of me, I thought I might just kind of throw that in there too. She's a good wife, but she's not perfect. And once you're in that relationship, again, dads, 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 moms, 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 you become one flesh, and God intends you to stick together. I mean, this idea of just flippant divorce, that's not God's ideal. That's not what God wants. That's not... And your kids will not, one more time, will not just adjust and everything be fine. Part of the problem with these kids today, they don't know from day to day where they're going to be. Are they going to be at mom's? Are they going to be at dad's? Are they going to be at grandma's? They're going to be at they don't know. They're going from pillar to post, and they don't know Because dads were not committed to their family. Because moms were not committed to their family. You see, a good dad, I don't care how much of a beard you can grow. I don't care how much you can bench press. No offense, AJ. I don't care how much you can bench press. I don't care what kind of big truck you got. You're not a good dad until you say, I am committed to my family. You've got to be committed to your family. And there's bad times. I can just relate my experience. There's been times that things have been really good, and there's been a few times that things have, you know, looked kind of bad, and we've gone through maybe something in family that's been bad, and we've lost loved ones, and it's been kind of discouraging. And sometimes we probably are a little bit more positive and loving and all that than other times. But it's all part of life. It's all part of marriage, right? I mean, those days that she wakes up and looks at me and says, what have I got myself into? You heard the expression, dated the sunshine and married the rain, didn't you? Have you heard that? That's probably what Amy said, feels every morning she gets up. I dated the sunshine but married the rain. But once you're married to the rain, you got to be committed to the rain. You got to be committed to that person. You got to be committed to your children. Again, wow, 18.3 million kids don't have a dad in the family where they're living. And about a third of kids do not live with their biological father. Good night. Dads, God's word is clear. I mean, it doesn't beat around the bush. It's not hard to understand. It doesn't take it a rocket science degree to figure it out. God expects you to be committed to your family, committed to your wife, committed to your children. You see, a father obligates himself to his family. A father is to obligate himself to his family. There is no throwing in the towel. There is no abandoning ship. That is not the solution. We need to be committed. A father obligates himself to his children. That speaks of commitment. That speaks of responsibilities. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to talk to the fathers and mothers that are here. Are you in it for the long haul? Are you in it for the long haul? Are you committed to each other and to raising, bringing them up, bringing up your children? Let me say that again. Fathers and mothers that are here today, are you in it for the long haul? Are you committed to each other and committed to raising your children the best you know how for the Lord? You might say, are you fully committed to them? If you're not sure how committed you are, ask God. Just say, God, how committed am I? You know my heart better than I do. Are you committed to your family? And I know as I look around the church, there's a lot of older folks that I'm seeing, gray hair I see. But you know what? Sometimes even old folks aren't committed to their family either. And sometimes you hear, after this many years of marriage, they left this one and they left. Still be committed. Are you committed to your family? Are you committed to your family? Would you take just a moment and talk to the Lord about that? If God is showing you that you may not be quite as committed, or maybe you just say, Lord, give me even more commitment to my family because I need to obligate myself to my family, commit myself, be responsible to my family. Would you just Just take just a moment and talk to the Lord about that. You might simply say, God, help me to be committed to my family in the good days and the bad days with your help. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you know, there could be some here today that has never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. You know, we talked a lot about it at Vacation Bible School, had three souls saved. You know, are you for sure that you're truly saved? Have you committed your heart and life to Jesus? Do you know for sure, 100% sure, that you'd go to heaven if you died today? If not, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. Would you come forward and say, Preacher, I want to know more about this being saved. Or maybe you want to come up and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to trust Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. Would you do that? If God is speaking to your heart. And the altar is always open for whatever need you have. Maybe dads and moms, maybe some folks just need to come to the altar. Maybe if you're in the teenage years, and maybe you want to come to the altar and say, God, just help me to choose wisely. Get the girl or the boy that you want me to get. The altar is open. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we don't have to guess about it. We don't have to listen to other people's opinion. Lord, we got your word, and we just thank you for that. Lord, I pray that the invitation, you'll just take control of our hearts, and we'll listen to whatever you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.